To Jonah chapter 1 today. Jonah chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 1 through 3 this morning and just continue to praise the Lord for his goodness to our church. And I appreciate your attendance here this morning. And we are looking forward to having Pastor back next week. Of course, he won't be able to preach just yet. He will be able to greet the congregation and do announcements and those kind of things next week. And then the plan for him, at least for the month of September, for several weeks in September, is to be able to go do a little bit of travel and try to get away, do somewhat of a sabbatical, and to be able to just rest and recover away from here. And I know he appreciates so much your prayers and your thoughts on his behalf during this time. I was talking, I mentioned this to the Sunday school opening this morning. Sheree and I were talking earlier this week. He has never had to miss a service, a Sunday service, because of sickness. And 34 years of ministry here, that's an amazing thing. And of course, there's been other times when he's been out of the pulpit for vacation or for speaking engagements, and yet this is obviously something very new and very different for him. And so I know he appreciates the church's prayers on his behalf, and he's looking forward to being able to be back here next week. You pray about that, and then of course, later on when he's fully recovered, able to be back in the pulpit. And we're just looking forward to having Pastor back in the pulpit. I know that it'll be a great blessing. I'd invite you this morning to stand once you've found your place in Jonah in chapter 1. I believe the Lord has directed my thoughts to the book of Jonah, at least for the next several weeks, as the Lord continues to reveal. That's where we need to be. That's where we'll be. And so we'll be learning some lessons from the life of Jonah and from this book. The book of Jonah, just 4 chapters. You can generally read it in about 15 minutes, and it's a great narrative of what God has done, and there's some great lessons that we could learn there. And so we're going to read verses 1 through 3 this morning, somewhat of an introduction to this book, but also some thoughts that the Lord would have for us this morning. The Bible says in verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." I want to preach a message entitled, God's Grace Precedes God's Judgment. God's Grace Precedes God's Judgment. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Dear Lord, as we do come before you this morning, we're thankful, Lord, for your goodness to us. Lord, we're thankful for each and every person that's gathered here today. Lord, and I pray that they would come ready to receive your word. Lord, as we open up your word this morning, we're so thankful for the music today and how it has directed our hearts towards you, Lord. And we pray now as we open up your word that you would teach us exactly what we would have need of this morning to be able to learn from you, Lord. I pray that you'd be with me now. Help me, Lord, as I preach your word. Lord, help me to preach it effectively, and getting across the message that you would have me to preach. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. And you can be seated. As we examine the book of Jonah, it's probably one of the more familiar, at least the story of Jonah and the whale, one of the more familiar stories that we would have in the Word of God. I know skeptics have debated, could there actually be a whale that could swallow a man, and then that man could survive in that whale for 3 days and 3 nights. And I just direct your thoughts to the fact that our Almighty God created this entire world in 6 literal days. One of those things, on one of those days that he did, is just one of the things, is create the entirety of marine life that we have here on this earth. And yet when the Bible says in verse 17 of chapter 1, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah," I believe if God wanted to prepare a fish to swallow Jonah, I believe that God could have done that. And certainly he did. And that's what we have here in this scripture. And yet we think about that, and the skeptics will debate that. But the truth is there's so much here in this book that we can learn from. The story of Jonah is the story of an unyielded prophet in his own words. That Jonah would write this book later on looking back at his time, but he was an unyielded prophet. God had given him a work to do, and he was not willing to yield to God, at least for a time. And yet what I find fascinating is that God clearly instructed Jonah on what he was to do. There were no questions about what God had called Jonah to do. No, he clearly instructed him to go to Nineveh and to preach to those people there about God's grace and the opportunity to repent. And yet Jonah still didn't yield. Can I tell you it's applicable to us as Christians today? Because God has given to us in His Word what He would have us to do. There are no questions about what God has placed in this book for us. It's His message to us as Christians today. And yet as we think about that, we must yield to God's Word. We must yield and do the things that He's called us to do. You know, the danger of not yielding is that disobedience on our part doesn't affect just us. It affects other people. I think about Jonah as he didn't yield to go to Nineveh at least the first time. The Bible says there was at least 3 days between the time that God called Jonah and the time that he went to Nineveh. The city of Nineveh was about 600,000 people, many believe. Can you imagine? And among 600,000 people, those that may have passed away in those 3 days, that never got to hear the message that God would have sent Jonah to give. The truth is, when we fail to disobey or when we fail to yield to God, others miss out on benefiting through God, what God was going to use us to do. I think about a person that God may call to the mission field and they're unyielded to that. There's a field of souls that may not hear the gospel because of an unyielded missionary. I think about a witness. God has called us all to go into our place of employment and into our neighborhoods and into our homes and to share the gospel. Listen, if we are unyielded to God, those people may not hear the gospel. I think about an unyielded husband or an unyielded father who his family needs that spiritual influence, that spiritual influence in their life, and that family may suffer because that father, that husband, is not yielded. And yet, I want you to understand this morning, it's of utmost importance that we yield not only for our best, but for those around us. So this morning we see here the book of Jonah is the story of the unyielded prophet in his own words. God would use him to write again after the fact about how he was unwilling to yield to God and what lessons we might learn. And so the first lesson that we learn in the first three verses this morning is that God's grace precedes God's judgment. The truth is there was a judgment coming to the city of Nineveh. The Bible says the wickedness had come up before God, and God was sending a judgment upon the city of Nineveh, but first an opportunity for grace. I think about our world today. You know, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The truth is, this morning, there is a judgment coming to our world one of these days. The Bible tells us that all of us will stand before God in judgment one of these days. If you're a Christian, if you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, He has washed away your sins. You will not stand before God in judgment. But those that are without Christ, those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, once they draw their last breath here on this earth, the Bible says that you will stand before God in judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But I want you to understand something. There's an opportunity for grace right now. There's an opportunity to receive God's free gift of salvation right now. And the truth is that there is a judgment coming, but first an opportunity for grace. As we understand the idea of the city of Nineveh and that judgment that was coming and the opportunity for grace, God obviously was going to send Jonah to them to preach the message of grace. Can I tell you this morning, what we see from this passage is that God loves people. When we study the book of Jonah, we find out that God loves people. The truth is, the story of the book of Jonah is one of the clearest demonstrations of God's love for all of mankind. Listen, the Bible reveals Nineveh was a wicked city, but it was a city full of people for whom God loved. God cared for that city. In fact, if you go down to chapter 4 and verse 11, I love what God would speak to Jonah about. He said there in verse 11, "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons, 120,000 that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand." God said, listen, not only is there 600,000 people in that city, or that idea of historians believe 600,000, but there's 120,000 little children in that city. They can't discern between their right hand and their left. They've not reached the age of accountability. Should I destroy that city? And what a great blessing, because God helps us to realize here in this book that God loves people. The city of Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. It was a world power at that time. It was probably one of the largest metropolitan areas in all of the world at that time. Listen, can I tell you, this city was a great threat to the city of Israel and to the land of Israel, and yet it was still a group of people that God loved. I want to tell you this morning that God has a universal love for mankind. God has created us. God has created you this morning. And as you come into this church this morning, you may wonder, does God really love me? I'm here to tell you, God loves people. God loves everyone. He's created us and He loves us. He has a universal love for mankind. That's one of the prevailing themes of the Bible. Can I tell you the fact that God loves people? It was demonstrated by God sending Jonah to Nineveh. He proved His love for Nineveh by sending Jonah to them. The Bible says in verse 2, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." What was Jonah to do? He was to take the message of God's hope to that city. He was to take the message, yes, you have been wicked, and the wickedness of your city has risen up before God, but God extends a chance of grace to you. To be able to repent from your sins and to turn away from your sins and to call upon God and make Him your God. God had sent Jonah to Nineveh. Can I tell you that Nineveh needed to know about God's grace? Nineveh needed to know about God and the fact that they could repent to Him. We see the message that Jonah was to take to them. We find out there in verse 2 that he was to cry against it or to preach against their wickedness and tell them to repent. But look in chapter 3 and verse 2. The second time that God would come to Jonah and tell him to go to Nineveh. He says in verse 2, "Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." He was to take God's message to the land of Nineveh. Again, listen, we don't stand up here merely just giving our thoughts and our message. No, we're to come giving God's message. We're to come to preach the Scripture. Listen, man can get up and give his philosophy, but it really doesn't change lives. But when we preach the Word of God, when we take God's message, when Jonah would have taken God's message to Nineveh, that would change lives. Listen, Nineveh needed to know the message of hope. Can I tell you today, this world needs to know the message of hope. There's a judgment coming to this world, but first there's an opportunity for grace. This world needs to know this. We see that it was demonstrated, God's love was demonstrated by God sending Jonah to Nineveh, but secondly, let her be there, it was not God's love, God loves people, it was demonstrated by God sending Jesus to this world. The fact that God sent His Son to this world is a demonstration of His love for mankind. If you're wondering today, does God really love me? Can God really save me? Can I tell you today, God loves you and He demonstrated it by sending His Son to this earth. I want you to go back to Galatians in chapter 4. Galatians in chapter 4 this morning. The Bible says in Galatians in chapter 4 in verse 4. The Bible says there, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, Jesus Christ, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." That's an incredible truth this morning. That, listen, in God's perfect timing, when the world was ready for us to receive Jesus Christ here on this earth, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth. To not only just come and be a good example under this earth, but to redeem them that were under the law. That idea of us being under the law is the truth is that none of us can keep up with the Ten Commandments. None of us could be perfect and fulfill all 10 points of the law and so many other Jewish laws that were at the time. But God sent forth His Son to this world to redeem us. Not that we would just have salvation, but that we would have the adoption of sons. We can be the child of God because of Jesus Christ and His gift of salvation. Can I tell you, the Bible says in John in chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's God's gift to mankind that He would send Jesus to this world. Can I remind you this morning, the greatest demonstration of love is sacrifice? Listen, we don't just tell someone we love them. We do things for them. We sacrifice for them. The Bible says in this, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The greatest demonstration that God could give us of His love for us is when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. I think about the relationship that I have with my wife. I remember when we first met at Bible college, and it didn't take me too long to figure out that I loved her and that I eventually wanted to marry her. And so, listen, when I began telling her that I loved her, listen, I didn't just use words. I began to sacrifice for her, do things for her. I began to spend time with her. Some 16 years later, now that we've been married for 16 years, can I tell you, listen, I don't just tell her I love her, I want to spend time with her. Sometimes that means that I take her to a mall somewhere, or sometimes an outlet mall. Listen, that's a sacrifice sometimes. But it's something I want to do because I want her to know that I love her. And yet we understand that idea of a sacrifice. And what a great blessing that, listen, John 3:16 doesn't just say, for God so loved the world. It doesn't just stop there. The Bible goes on to say that he gave his only begotten son. God didn't just say he loved us. He sacrificed his son. He sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. He showed us his love by sending his son. The truth is, this morning, we know that God loves us. But God gives to mankind a choice. You see, God didn't create you as a spiritual robot to just do exactly what he would tell you to do. God didn't just send us that we would have to make that decision. Listen, God gives to mankind a choice to either accept his son or to reject his son. As you're here today, can I say this morning, listen, God gives you a choice today. He says, I love you. I sent my son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. I've given you an opportunity for grace, but God will not force himself upon us. God will convict. God will knock on our heart's door, but he does not make us accept his son. He gives to mankind a choice to either accept or reject him, to accept his grace or to reject his grace. I want to ask you this question this morning. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Listen, you may realize this morning that God loves you, but you must make a choice to receive his love. You must make a choice to accept the grace that he gives to us. Listen, I'm telling you that there is a judgment coming. The Bible's very clear about that. There's a judgment coming. We will all stand before God one of these days. Those that are saved will not stand before God because of their sin. But those that are without Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, you'll stand before God one of these days. Just as there was a judgment coming to Nineveh, can I tell you there's a judgment coming to this world? But God loves people. And first, he extends an opportunity for grace. He would extend that opportunity to the land of Nineveh. The first lesson we see here in the book of Jonah is that God loves people. And the second lesson that we see here from this passage is that God calls his children to share this message of love. That God would use us to share this message of love. Jonah was God's prophet. Jonah was called to take this message to Nineveh, but the Bible reveals that he was unyielded. The Bible says in verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Listen, we understand the message of God's word is that God loves people. If you're saved today, you've received that love in your life. You know what that's like. Listen, you remember when you kneeled at an old-fashioned altar? Do you remember where you were when God's love came over you and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you were forgiven of your sins? Can I tell you, God didn't send his Son to this world to die on the cross for our sins, that we might just merely receive his gift of salvation and then remain unchanged. No, God sent his Son to save us that we might receive that gift of salvation, that we might receive that gift of love, that our lives would be about a new purpose. That it would no longer be about serving me and doing the things that I want to do, but that our life would be about living for him and yielding to him. We see here Jonah was set apart as a prophet. God had redeemed him. He was set apart as a prophet, but he was unwilling to yield to God. What about you and I? Are you yielding to God today? As a saved individual, are you yielding to God? Are you allowing him to work in your life? If you've been saved, you've been set apart for a purpose. Are you yielded? Listen, just as God would give to mankind a free will to accept or to reject him, Can I tell you, God gives to us as Christians a free will to either yield to Him in obedience or to disobey what God has called us to do. We find that here in this passage of verse 3. Verse 3 is Jonah exercising his free will as a prophet to disobey God. It's very sad when we see this because we know the outcome of this. But the Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. When you begin to think about that, this is an incredibly sad statement that Jonah would flee away from God's presence. Someone who had been set apart by God to do a work for Him. Can I tell you, when we exercise our free will to yield to, or to disobey, when we run from God, we remove ourselves from the presence of God. I'm not speaking about a physical presence this morning, because we understand that God is everywhere. We could never outrun God or get away from where He is, but there are times in our lives when we're not yielding to Him that God has to remove His hand of blessings from our life. That God has to take His hand off of our life and His protection off of our life. Listen, being unyielded to God removes me from God's presence in my life. It actually puts me in a place of judgment, to where God might have to intervene in my life. God might have to send a trial in my life to get a hold of my heart, to get me to look back to Him. You see, we find out that grace precedes judgment in the Christian life. Can I tell you that God's grace was seen in Jonah's life in His call to use Jonah? The fact that God would use Jonah was God's grace upon him. Jonah, I'm getting ready to send a message to Nineveh. I'm getting ready to send a judgment. They need to hear what I have to say, and I'm going to use you to take that. I think about that in my own life. The fact that God would use any of us is an amazing thing to me. Listen, you don't know me like I know me. I don't know you like you know you. And yet the truth is that God would be gracious enough to come into our heart and our life and not only save us, but then use us for His service. That's God's grace seen in our lives. Listen, God's grace was seen in Jonah's life in the fact that He said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Preach the gospel. Preach my word to those people. They need to know a judgment is coming. But can I say God's judgment was seen in the storm? God gave Jonah a chance to accept His grace and to go and preach the word of God. But the judgment of God came in the storm that we'll study later on. Some say this morning, I can't serve the Lord. I couldn't get up in front of people. I couldn't be a witness. I couldn't minister. You expect me to go into a room full of kids and try to teach them? I could never do something like that. Can I tell you, the fact that God would involve us in His work is God's grace extended to us. I remember when I was just out of Bible college and had an opportunity to go to Kenya, East Africa, to go on a mission trip. And I went with several experienced preachers, and I went with some missionaries, some experienced missionaries, and there were several opportunities to preach the Word of God there. And I was just newly out of Bible college, just in the ministry for just a little over a year at that time, and was still learning, and I really wrestled because I felt like, really, I had nothing. I was inadequate for the job that was there. And I remember being asked to preach in one of the services. It was an unusual service. It was a baptismal service for a church that was a church plant out of the main church that we were visiting. And I remember they drove us. It was a several-hour trip into what they would call the bush of Africa. There was no running water. There was no electricity. I remember pulling off the main road up a hillside, and we began to drive. We had a Land Rover there, a four-wheel drive, and we began to drive to the top of that hill there. And I remember the missionary putting it in park, and he said, we've got to walk the rest of the way from here. And I remember we began walking, and we walked past a little lean-to, a little shelter, and he said, that's where the church meets right there. That's their meeting place. Began to walk further, about a 10 to 15 minute walk. We walked down into a valley, and there they had a little creek that they had built a dam around to begin to dam up some of the water so that they could have a baptismal service. Began to look around, and when we arrived, they began to come from everywhere.
and began to look around, and by the time the whole crowd had assembled, there was about 100 people there. I'd never preached through an interpreter at that time. I fumbled my way through a 15-minute message on baptism and how it pictures salvation, and my whole mind, the whole time I'm thinking, God could never use this. And I'll never forget, as it came time for an invitation, there was a young lady there that day that received Christ as her personal Savior. Listen, can I tell you, I wrestled with that. Could God use me? Could God take and impart His grace on me? And yet obedience to Him allowed an impartation of His grace to do what I could not do. There's no way that I could impact those people. But His grace came upon me. Listen, just as God called Jonah to share His message of love with Nineveh, can I say this morning, God expects His children to extend the love that they've received to the lost and dying world. God expects you to take those things that you've received and to share those with a lost and dying world. I want you to turn over to John in chapter 15 this morning. John in chapter 15. The Bible says in verse 12 of John chapter 15, Jesus speaking to us as His disciples. He says this in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." As you've received my gift of salvation, as you've received my love, now it's your job to love one another. The Bible says in verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." He reminds us of the sacrifice and the love that He had. And He says, "This is my sacrifice for you, that I would save you." And then He says in verse 14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." As I've sacrificed for you, now it's your turn to sacrifice for me. Listen, can I tell you, as Christians, we could never repay the debt that we have to Christ. There's no way we could ever sacrifice to repay that, but we can do something for Him. We can live for Him. He says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Not only has He saved us, not only has He called us to a life of service, but He's equipped us to be able to take His word to a lost and dying world. He says, "I've presented to you the things from my Father." And then He says in verse 16, and I love this, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." You see, the truth is, there's a judgment coming one of these days. But first, an opportunity for grace. And God loves people, and He has saved you, and now He expects you to take that message of love to a lost and dying world. He says, "Listen, you're to share the gospel." You say, how do we extend that love? Well, we extend it by taking the message of hope. One of the things that Jonah was to do was to go to Nineveh and take the message of hope to that people. Listen, you're lost in your wickedness, but there's a God who loves you. There's a God who, if you'll repent of your sins and you'll turn to God and you'll accept Him, He will forgive you of your sins. Listen, this morning, it's our job to take the message of hope to a lost and dying world. The Bible says there in verse 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Listen, can I ask you this question this morning? Can you look at your life and see fruit that remains? The truth is, being yielded to Christ means that our life is going to bear fruit in others coming to Christ. That as we live a Christian life and as we realize God has loved me and God has saved me, now it's my turn to yield to Him. And when I'm yielded to Christ, do you know what the Bible says? That our life is going to bring forth fruit in other people's lives. Let me ask you this question this morning. Can you see fruit in your Christian life? Can you see fruit that remains? Listen, maybe I can ask it this way. Who is the person that you're reaching right now? Who has God placed in your life and he has directed you to them? Maybe it's a coworker. You know, listen, I believe as Christians, God doesn't just place us in a random place of employment. No, I believe he places us there that we might be a shining light in that place. Listen, in our neighborhoods, I believe we pray about God and directing us to where he would have us to live and buy a home. I don't believe God just randomly places his people in a neighborhood. I believe he puts them around neighbors that need to hear the gospel. Listen, your family, I don't believe that God just randomly placed you where you were at. But listen, are we yielding to God? Who's that person that we're focusing on? The other question, does your life continue to bear fruit? You see, some will hang their head on a victory in the past. Yes, 20 years ago I was a witness to someone and they came to church. Listen, can I tell you, God expects that fruit to continue to remain. God expects you to continue to win people to the Lord. Listen, the Bible says in verse 5, and you say, how could I do that? The Bible says in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then he says this, for without me, ye can do nothing. So I tell you, we are powerless to live the Christian life in our own strength. We're powerless to make an impact on anybody else in our own strength. But can I tell you, the Bible says we're to be yielded to the vine. The branches are to be yielded to the vine. If you imagine a tree, the branches, listen, if they don't yield to the vine, there's no sustenance. There's no food, and eventually that branch dies off. And the truth is, this morning, as we're yielded to Christ, it can use us to bring forth much fruit. You see, God's grace for this world precedes his judgment for this world. There's coming a judgment, but first grace. And God wants to use you and I to take that gift or that gospel to this world. But I can tell you this morning, we are powerless to help unless we are in him, unless we are in Christ. Jonah was an unyielded prophet. You know, today many Christians are unyielded. And the truth is, many times they're not unyielded because they don't want to be yielded. Listen, you're in church this morning. You've made the choice to be here. I think the general consensus is that most of us want to do what Christ has called us to do, but many times the reason we're unyielded is because we feel inadequate. God couldn't really use me to do something. Listen, good for you to be able to stand in front of class and teach a class, or I'm glad that you're able to go and knock on doors and invite people to church and those kind of things, but I could never do that. Can I tell you, when we're in Christ, when we're yielded to the vine, the Bible says that we can go and we can bring forth much fruit. Listen, Christ has called us to take his message of love because we know there's a judgment coming. But first, an opportunity for grace. As we think about the ministry of the church, why do we pick up families on a church bus? Why do we go knock on doors? Why do we have children and youth ministries? Why do we try to reach families? Why send missions dollars around the world? Because we know a judgment is coming. We know that all of mankind that's without Jesus Christ will stand in judgment to God one of these days. But first, a chance for grace. The first lesson that we would see from the book of Jonah is that God's grace precedes God's judgment. Listen, God loves people. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want to invite you this morning to come and experience the love of Jesus Christ that caused him to come to this earth to die on the cross for your sins, that you might be redeemed, that you might receive the adoption of sons. And then God expects his children, you and I, to be yielded to him. And when we're yielded to him, we can take the message of God's word to a lost and dying world. That we would bear fruit that would remain. Not just once in our life, but continual fruit. That God would use us to invest in the lives of other people. Whether it be through ministry or through personal soul winning, on the job, that God would use us wherever we go. We have the message of hope this world needs, and they need to hear it before judgment. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. The message from the book of Jonah: God's grace precedes God's judgment. I don't know how God may have used this message in your heart and your life this morning. Maybe there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen, I want to encourage you. God loves you today. God loved you so much that He sent His Son to die on a cross for your sins. And His grace in your life means that you can know Him as your personal Savior today. If there's someone in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to invite you to come today where someone at an altar will take a Bible and will share with you from God's Word how you can know for sure you'd spend eternity with God in heaven. And then Christians this morning, are we yielding to Christ? One of the lessons we can learn from Jonah, and one of the lessons he would teach us, is there was a time when he was an unyielded prophet. We are to yield to Christ so that we can bear fruit that remains. Dear Lord, as we come before you this morning, we're thankful for the lessons from the life of Jonah, Lord, the unyielded prophet. And I pray that you'd help us to first understand, Lord, that you love people and that you've called us to take your gospel to a lost and dying world. That, Lord, there is a judgment coming, but first an opportunity for grace. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as decisions are made this morning. Lord, I pray if there's someone that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that today they would come and call upon you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray for those that are saved here today. Lord, I pray that we would invest our lives into yielding to you so that we would see fruit that remains. We love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.